Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. Hello, everybody. And it's a little snowy out.
A little bit.
It's all right.
Hey, you know, this has been such a terrible year for precipitation.
No, we'll
need it.
We'll take all we can get.
I'll take every inch.
That's exactly right. So today's impossible question. We didn't have one yesterday, but we have one today. 27% of parents say they would do this if they thought their kids wouldn't catch them. You can answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. Hint, the parent is trying to be cool. So 27%, so that's a little over a quarter of parents say they would do this if they thought their kids wouldn't catch them. Charlie. Oh, Charlie says TikTok videos. Ooh.
That's a pretty good one.
It's not bad, Charlie. That's not bad.
I mean, so many of these answers, I'm sorry, but a lot of them just would be kind of wrong. Obviously, you know, do some kind of drug or weed, date their friends.
Isn't that normal? The weed thing here? I mean, is that just kind of normal anyways?
Well, here in Colorado, what they would do if their kids wouldn't catch them is not do weed.
True.
Good point. You didn't do weed. And, you know, you just don't want to get in trouble with the kids.
Good point. No, you are.
Do you have a guess on this?
You know what? I wish I had one, but no, I don't.
I'm going with Charlie's. Something about making videos.
TikTok videos. It could be. So here's some ideas. Use street slang, which I don't know what that is. Wear kids' clothes, dumb. And smoke weed. Those are the ideas. You're a parent. You don't need to be cool. You just be yourself. Kids, I think, appreciate... Maybe I'm wrong, but I think kids just appreciate parents that are real and down to earth and act normal, and maybe I'm completely wrong.
Well, let me...
Charlie says, come on, man!
Oh, jeez. Well, let me ask you about this. What do you think when you see a parent who's trying to be cool, try to be one of the kids? Now, it's okay for parents to, you know, be involved with their kids, and so I get that.
I get.
But I'm talking the ones who try, you know,
trying too hard.
Dress young, act young, talk young. Do you kind of get the feeling that they have low self-esteem? They want to be loved by their kids. They're looking at their kids as value providers.
Yes, and they're trying to be their friend, which you can't do that as a parent anyways. Just be yourself, folks.
Yeah,
be yourself.
Be your kids' enemies like you do.
Now, I'm not saying that if you're 40, you need to dress like you're... Yeah, be your enemy. Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying if you're, you know, in your 40s, you got to dress like you're 80 and,
right.
You know, just be normal. Act normal. Be normal.
Every single father in America should wear overalls. Now, that's just my opinion.
Well, you know, they're fitting for some. I'm not that guy, but some guys really like them. You know, some people love overalls. I'm not an overall guy, so... Super Bowl ads. I want to talk about that for just a moment since you're with me, but we've got John joining us on that last topic. John, welcome. What's up, sir?
Hey, well, first, I heard the show yesterday. Very sorry about your brother. We'll keep him in our prayers.
I appreciate that. Thank you, John.
Hey, you know, I buried my sister back in September. There's no easy way to do it.
No, it's not fun at all. You are correct.
No. And, well, I hope you're getting at least some frequent flyer miles out of this.
I will get some of those before it's over with, yes.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, is Andy there today?
Andy is here.
I am here, sir.
That's the other voice you hear.
Oh, Andy, what happened on Sunday?
Exactly what I predicted would happen. I predicted Tampa Bay would overwhelm Green Bay and beat them.
And they did.
And they, But did you see, well, this is the one stat, you and Richard didn't bring it up yesterday.
Let's hear it.
Did you see that one stat that Fox put on where Tom Brady has been in more championship games than Bart Starr, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers combined?
Isn't that incredible?
I did not see that. Amazing.
You know, John, really quick here, are we ever going to see a combination like Belichick and Brady again?
I doubt
where
it.
They click for that long with so many supporting casts.
I doubt it.
To where they can rise to the top.
I don't think so. I can't even think of another one that was that good. I mean, maybe Bradshaw and Chuck Knoll.
That was close.
That was close, but, you know, they had that good 6-year run, and then it was over. But how bad are the Bronco fans feeling? I mean, Belichick shredded them for 2 decades with Brady, and then they lose again.
Yeah,
then
I know.
They've got to watch Brady in another Super Bowl.
I know. And by the way, you know, since I won't be here with Richard, I'm going to make my prediction right now. I believe Tampa wins the Super Bowl by double digits.
Really?
I believe they win handily. Yeah, they're the better team.
Over the Chiefs?
Really?
Yeah, over the Chiefs. I think they will manhandle the Chiefs.
So the old versus the young.
Well, the better, the more talent versus a team that I don't think this game will be very competitive.
Really?
Well,
I'm actually shocked at that, Andy.
Yeah.
I am too. I'm thinking this is going to be a 38-31 type shootout.
I went into this past weekend, and, you know, Richard and I, we exchanged texts now and then talking
football. He told me you guys were exchanging them quite frequently, actually.
Oh, yes. Because I always get, and, you know, it drives Richard nuts because I'm a big pessimist with my Packers. And, you know, but I told Richard, not only did I expect Tampa to beat Green Bay handily, and by the way, if it hadn't been for Tom Brady imploding and playing terribly, Tampa would have crushed us. That being set aside, I told him before the game, before the weekend, not only would Tampa hammer Green Bay, but I said Tampa's going to win it all with ease. I don't see anything in their way.
So here's the question then.
Let's hear
it. I don't know if you asked Richard this yesterday. If Brady wins number 7, does he retire?
Ooh.
Or does he come back and try to do it again?
My answer is the answer is no. He's on a 2-year contract, and the team is too talented. Now, if he was on a team where he thought that they were in decline, then, yeah, I do think he would, John. I think that you would be nailing it on the head. I think their team is too good. And one other thing, I'm also predicting that Brady next year is going to look a little bit like Drew Brees this year. I think we're
going to old.
I think we're going to see the drop-off, and it's going to happen rather quickly next year. But they are so good. Tampa's so loaded. Yeah, he's going to come back for one more.
You know how you beat Brady in the Super Bowl?
How?
You have Eli Manning as quarterback.
That's good.
He nails it.
That's good, John. Good one.
As a Giants fan, he beat him twice.
Good one, John. That's good.
Hey,
good stuff.
John, I'll keep your brother in my
Love friend. You, man. You thank you. I really appreciate it, John. Thank you so much. I really do mean that. Thank you. All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back. And I want to talk about the Super Bowl ads, some of them being pulled when we come back. I was kind of figured that was right up your alley.
Okay.
And what they're being pulled for. We'll talk about it. Agree or disagree, we'll talk about it. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, folks. And they want to help you out with all of your car needs, and keeping your car well-maintained saves you money in the long run. And they'll help you save money on the front side just with tires, because they sell you tires at their cost. Find them at klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
All right, Bruce Simmons, he is our reverse mortgage specialist, and Bruce wants to help you if you're in the market for a reverse mortgage. And, you know, you may not even know you are, but you may be sitting on a pile of equity that you can't use, and you're at the point where you want to do something with it. Bruce can help you with that, and it's easy. Go to klzradio.com or 303-467-7861.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Myself, Andy Pate. And all right, we're going to talk about Super Bowl ads.
Okay.
And the companies that are pulling out. Now, I don't have a full list of all of the companies that are going to be pulling ads. I just thought it'd be something worth talking about and the reasoning behind it.
All right, let's hear it. So, now, wait a minute. Is each company choosing to pull their ads, or is are outside forces asking them to for other reasons?
I don't think anybody's asking them to pull them.
Okay, just wanted to be sure.
But there are some big advertisers. There's an article, and by the way, you can Google this. It's all over the internet. So big Super Bowl advertisers bow out amid struggle with tone. This is an article in the New York Post. The Super Bowl may be known for its commercials, but even the advertising world isn't expecting a lot of touchdowns this year. A startling number of brands known for showcasing new commercials doing the big football season finale are bowing out of Super Bowl this year as advertisers struggle to hit the right note in the country plagued by the coronavirus pandemic. Social and political unrest and record unemployment, those that stay in the game are largely expected to play it safe. Some, this is my words, not in this article, some, by the way, I've read, are going to pull ads, Budweiser being one of them, which this will be the first year Budweiser hasn't had an ad in the Super Bowl in eons, and they're pulling it to focus on vaccination awareness. I do know that.
Well, what do you mean focus on vaccination awareness? Are they going to put out ads about that elsewhere, or are they going to put out sponsor ads about that for the Super Bowl? What are they doing?
They're not going to run anything in the Super Bowl but take that money and spend it in other ways to bring vaccination awareness. And I don't know what that means. They didn't explain. That's just what I read.
Do they want us to vaccinate responsibly?
I guess, yeah, like you would drink responsibly, yes.
Maybe they can put some of it into the beer. What do you think?
The vaccine delivered by horses, Charlie said.
Delivered by horses to your door, and you drink a 12-pack.
See,
and you're good to go.
My own personal opinion.
I mean, you won't get COVID, but if you do, you won't know it.
My own personal opinion, I think these companies are missing out. I think they're being far too sensitive to what's going on in our world today in the United States of America. I think people want to get back to normal. In fact, the quicker the better. I think these companies are being very PC to the point where I think that's going to cost them. And I look at this as an opportunity where somebody comes along with a bigger and better ad, you're liable to lose out as a company that didn't advertise. That's my opinion.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think this is insane, John. Why would you do this? You have an entire country that is COVID weary. You have the biggest event of the year that can get their minds off COVID. And what do you want to do? You want to pull ads so you can talk about COVID somewhere. This is crazy. It's like, look, folks, put an ad out. Have it be a funny, silly ad talk, you know, that gets crazy and gets people's minds even more off of what they're going through. Don't pour your money, Budweiser, don't pour your money into things that remind them of the misery they're in. You're trying to sell products.
This ad's talking about how some are wondering, some of the ad agencies are wondering, is it too early, you know, to do any kind of funny ads. You know, is humor the right thing right now? Is it the right tone? And I would say just the opposite. Just the opposite. I think having humor right now is a big deal. This article does say humor is expected to play a big role because there's almost always an appetite for laughing during a sporting event. But yet some of these executives are asking, is it the right time or not? And I'm thinking to myself, it's overtime.
Oh,
pardon
yes.
the pun.
What is with these people? You know, don't they understand that maybe, just maybe, Americans are a little tired of living in a dystopian society where every time you drive down the road, you have signs flashing, wear your mask here, mask mandate there, socially distance. You have things that say, things that say, don't come up too close, you don't tailgate behind cars, that also say, do you socially distance like this? You actually have flashing signs on the highway like that, John. People are being reminded of it everywhere. They're sick of it. They want escape. And the Super Bowl, if that's not an escape, if that's not the greatest time to put your ad out there and remind them, hey, man, there's happiness around the corner, what is? You tell me. You're a business guy.
No, and one of these commenters says that the country's so divided and split right now down the middle that I don't think there's a commercial that will appease both sides. I firmly disagree with that.
Why would you do a political commercial?
Well, humor always brings people together. In fact, sporting, if it were me and I was doing an ad, and I'm not an ad agency, but if I were doing an ad, I would say something along the lines that I would just hit a head on. You know, we're a country that's somewhat divided right now. This past 6 months or this past year with coronavirus has been tough on all of us. But you know what? There's one thing about sports. Sports brings people together. Everybody from all sides can come together and enjoy the game and then blah, 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 talk about whatever it is you're trying to sell.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Oh, yeah.
Confront it, talk about it, but then play on that.
Or just do something fun.
Either way.
Think about this show for a moment.
And by the way, you could do both.
Yeah, of course. We do politics here now and then. We also do a lot of other topics. What is the most popular hour of the week?
Movie week. Or movie hour.
Exactly. Every Friday at 4.
Movie hour. What does that tell you?
I know.
People want a release. They want an escape.
Which, by the way, folks, just looking ahead, I'm going to be doing chick flicks with three women this Friday at 4.
You're going, Andy.
I am going into the lion's den.
Andy is a saint.
But you see what I mean?
No, good point.
People love getting away from all that for an hour.
Yes. Yes, they do. And it's why we intermix even things like this into it, because this isn't really talking politics. This is kind of the opposite of it. It's the Super Bowl. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. And use your product in a way where people can see that and have a lot of fun as well.
Exactly. Your product is supposed to be an escape. That's from all of this. And let me throw this at you, Mr. Businessman. Okay. When did businesses in this country become so unfun? Okay.
When the Democrats got in charge.
Yeah, because they're running major corporations.
The Democrats
everywhere.
And the PC NFL, No Fun League, I call them.
Right.
When the No Fun League starts to run things, this is what you get. Everything's PC. No one's toes can ever be stepped on. You got to pussyfoot around and worry about who you're going to offend, and on and on and on you go. And yeah, you take the fun out of everything.
When they did all the BLM stuff, it crashed their ratings.
It's dumb.
The ratings have only started to ease back as they've dropped all that. The NBA, their ratings are coming back, same reason. And it's like, look, folks, even people on the left who support BLM are looking at it and saying, dude, I just want to watch some hoops.
Thank you. I want release. I just want to get away from that and watch some basketball.
Exactly. I want to see Tom Brady take on the Chiefs and all this. I don't care.
Right.
This is a terrible mistake.
In fact, I don't need to be reminded COVID's even out there. Tell me it's not.
Yes, thank you. And oh, by the way, don't we have all these serums going around? You know, this is the thing, John, where I look at these businesses and I say, because they are so, it's not that they are not focused enough on social awareness and politics and all this. It's because they are so focused on those things, they're losing sight of the market. The market is screaming at them and saying, dudes, don't preach at us in any way. Have fun, and we will buy your products. And they're throwing it away.
I didn't look at any of these numbers. I should have, though. If you go back and look at some of last year's ads, I would guess that some of the fun, you know, Cheetos, Doritos, and so on ads from 2020, so last year, 2020, before COVID hit, knowing then what COVID was like and the fact that a lot of people stayed home and did what? Ate chips and Cheetos. I would think that those folks did very well with whatever ads they ran, and I think people or advertising companies should be looking at some of that from last year saying, wait a minute, folks have just been through all of this. What can we do to make them feel a little bit better about life in general, and how do we create an ad to do so?
Yeah, or you could right? say, yeah, and you could even have fun with it and say, the one great reason for being stuck at home. And you could have this guy pull out from behind his pillow or behind right. whatever, his Cheetos.
Or a Bud Light or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's to you, fans. I mean, you know, those old ads that Budweiser used to run, they were great ads. Why not get back to those?
Yeah, and please don't tell us we're all in this together. We'll get through this together.
Yeah, I don't want to hear
we're
that.
We're going to survive. Enough.
Exactly.
Have fun.
Exactly. Bill, you're up. What's going on?
I'll tell you, I disagree with you guys.
Okay.
I think this is Budweiser's way. Budweiser's all-American beer, right?
Right.
Yes.
As American as it can come. You athletes that don't want to stand for the anthem, we're not supporting you. I honestly think, I'll bet you if you can get someone to tell the truth, that's it.
Potentially. I mean, I'm still one, Bill, that says you need to just keep the ads fun and light and enjoyable and, you know, across the board where anybody watching it says, yeah, that's a great ad. I'll go buy the product. That's what you need right now.
Yeah, but, you know, for what they charge and when they won't stand for the anthem and salute the flag, I'll tell you, you know, my family was persecuted, too, back in the 40s or whenever, you know. I mean, it's over. It's done with.
No, Bill, I totally agree. But first of all, the NFL is obviously listening to Bill because there's been virtually no kneeling now. There's been virtually no avoidance of the anthem. They've listened to you. You are the market. You've already won. You've won the war.
I thought they weren't coming out until after the anthem.
It's kind of a – yeah, you're right. But which, by the way, I think that's silly. But then again, who cares? There's no fans there.
I mean, pay me what they're paying them. I'll stand on my head and do whatever they want, right?
I agree. And I would stand for the anthem. I would insist on it. Okay?
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, the big thing is this. I think the reason advertisers are pulling out is because they're all worried about, gee, we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to offend anyone. And the answer is simple. Don't talk about the topics that offend people. Nobody wants to hear you talk about politics and COVID anyway. Right, Bill?
We've let political correctness win.
Agreed.
Good stuff, Bill. I appreciate it. And again, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got a special guest joining us in a moment. Franktown Firearms is up next, though. And if you're looking to buy a firearm, whether you've owned a lot or never owned one before, they can help you out on both ends of the spectrum. That's Franktown Firearms. And don't forget to listen to their show on Saturdays at 2 o'clock, Shooting the Breeze. In the meantime, find Franktown on our website, klzradio.com, or call 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with a full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, and as we look outside in this cold weather we've got going on right now, it will warm up, folks. Seasons change just like the seasons change in your life. Make sure you're prepared for those financially and go to Al Smith where he can do that for you. He's a financial advisor. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Your retirement plan doesn't need to be complicated. Al Smith doesn't use fancy software to create 20-page reports full of charts and graphs. Instead, he meets you with his 15 years of experience, a calculator, and some basic information about the money you've already saved. He wants you to walk away from that first meeting feeling confident instead of confused. At Golden Eagle Financial, Al believes your foundational retirement plan should be simple. Look at how much money you have now. Estimate how much your investments are likely to grow over the next few years, and decide how you want to pull that money out so it lasts as long as you need it to. Then, once you have your fundamental retirement plan in place, Al will talk to you about planning ahead for unforeseen events. Schedule a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial now and take the mystery out of retirement planning. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Nancy with Metron Technology said, "We have used Business Equipment Service for many years. They are always pleasant to work with and responsive to our infrequent requests for service. We highly recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Daniel Turner joining us now, founder and executive director of Power of the Future. Daniel, you've been with us many times in the past. Thank you for joining us again today. We appreciate it. And it's a new president and kind of a new next 4 years, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and I wish I was optimistic. You know, I would love to talk about some fun things on the show, but I have a feeling this interview is going to be a little different.
Well, and I knew it would be as well. Let's face it, we have an administration now that is going to push an agenda that's going to take us, you know, to the quote-unquote, and I always say quote-unquote because I don't believe in anything that's called green energy really being green. Everything we do in life, Daniel, has a pro and a con. There's an offset to every single thing we do. You know, if we're building solar panels and we're using rare earth metals and lots of metal and aluminum to make those things work, there's a trade-off for that. If we're doing wind and solar, we've got trucking costs and we're making blades that cannot be disposed of properly after the fact. I mean, on and on we go. I mean, there is no such thing in my book, Daniel, as green energy. There is energy, and how we get it and use it and the cost of is really what this is all about. And I hate that term, number one, because really the greenest energy we have, despite what everybody says, is what comes out of the ground called oil.
Absolutely. And this is the type of adult conversation that I wish we could have. I wish we could have it with devout climate activists. I wish we could have it with the Biden administration. You know, we hear a lot about science. We're the party of science, and we want to believe in science. And Biden has said multiple times that he's going to make science a priority in this administration. But you just raised a great point about offset. Science says that we use an awful lot of coal to make wind and solar. You could almost argue that we don't offset what we would spend burning coal to make electricity, to burn that coal to make green technology to make electricity. And so if we want to be a party of science, why can't we just have that adult conversation and say, look, you can say you love solar panels, and I have nothing against them, but the amount of coal you need to burn to melt down the quartz to make the silica panels is not offsetting the amount of coal you would use just to make electricity. So let's have that conversation.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying as well, Daniel, and I just wish people would be more honest with it. The problem is we're not pushing green energy, and we're not pushing, you know, we're not the party of science. We're the party of an agenda. We're a party where we want to make people think we're doing things properly and that we're heading in a particular direction that appeases the masses, if you would. And what I mean by that is the masses around the world that have been brainwashed into believing that a solar panel somehow is better than a barrel of oil that comes out of the ground. And the reality, Daniel, is, and I'm a technology guy, and I'm an automotive guy from years ago. I mean, that's all I've ever done in my life, Daniel. So, I mean, I give everybody my pass that way. But, you know, I don't have a dog in this fight one way or the other. I love technology. I love when new things come along. And I'm always willing to try something. But I also know that with every one of those new technologies, like I said a moment ago, there are offsets. The problem, Daniel, that I see, and this is where you come in, I don't see an offset yet that at the end of the day, when you look at the dollars and cents, as in not only the CNT cent, but the cents, in other words, common sense, when you look at both of the cents, neither one of them make anything outside of oil add up.
No, and in the process of trying to make the numbers work, there is an interim period that inflicts tremendous amount of suffering. Look at the 11,000 pipeline workers who just got laid off.
Right.
I've spoken to a number of them. I'm headed to a pipeline camp in a couple of days on Friday to sit down and interview several of them. These are guys who, as of on Monday and Tuesday, had a job, and they woke up Wednesday and they were told they no longer had a job, right? So there is going to be some short-term or potentially, I think, long-term suffering as we're trying to make America a green grid. We're going to drive.
I know Andy's got a question, but I want to just ask one question of both of you real quick before you guys continue on even. And this would be Daniel and Andy both. Do you feel like the pipeline shutdown is a payback to Warren Buffett, because I believe it does, because the way that oil that way that oil is presently trucked, for everybody that doesn't realize this now, the way that oil is trucked down from Canada to the U.S. right now is currently on rail cars that Warren Buffett owns. So is this a payback to Warren Buffett in the fact that he now gets to, you know, gets to make more money trucking oil down from Canada on his trains?
Oh, absolutely. That was my first thought. Okay.
Mine too.
The pipeline is a much cleaner, better,
More efficient,
and
frees up the railways.
Yes, emissions neutral way to actually move all that, but it takes money out of Warren Buffett's pockets. Now we put that money back into Warren Buffett's pockets.
Correct.
But Daniel, don't worry about talking to these oil workers, because Pete Buttigieg says they can just get other jobs.
Oh, real quick, Daniel, too. The other thing you never hear talked about, Andy, I appreciate just mentioning, and just came to my mind as you guys were talking. This is something, too, Daniel, that no one talks about that you could throw into this conversation outside of even our show, is when you free up that train traffic, those rails, what else happens, Daniel?
When you're going to, if you're not putting them on the rails, you're going to put them on trucks, and that's an awful lot of traffic.
No. What I'm saying is, if we have a pipeline, the oil comes off the rail cars and goes into the pipeline, doesn't our overall freight get cheaper across this country because there's less of it being, you know, in other words, there's less demand on the rail cars themselves? Because rail traffic is at an all-time high. Well, if we get rid of that oil that's actually being trucked around the country and put pipelines in place, do we not make it better for the American public, the American worker, by lowering the cost of goods because the rail costs are so much less? Again, what I'm getting at is the left always talks about how they care about the worker and the average American, but at the end of the day, they don't.
These are all those little costs that, you know, will, as they say, nickel and dime, but they begin to add up. And when the ones who can't afford nickel and diming are the people who are on fixed income.
That's right.
There are going to be multiple steps, regulatory steps, environmental, all done in the name of the environment, that will be done that will drive up the price of oil. It's already going up, and it's going to continue to go up. Look at the other thing that we were promised is we were told by both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden they will not ban fracking. Well, we have a 60-day moratorium now. Tomorrow, my sources tell me, the Biden administration will announce a one-year moratorium on fracking on federal lands. And they'll say, well, it's not a fracking ban. No. This is just a study that we want to conduct, and the media will give them a pass, right? It's the same as if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. We've heard these lies before. Why couldn't Joe Biden just say, this is what I want to do? I'm beholden to Warren Buffett. I'm beholden to the environmental left because they supported Bernie Sanders and I stole the election from him. So these are the things I will do. But they always have to lie and fudge and give you misinformation about their environmental and energy plans.
Agree.
You know, Daniel, one of the things that really bothers me about their green energy plans is this. Land usage, water usage.
Right.
You know, we always talk about oil and coal and how they need these things to actually produce and maintain the green energy sources, wind and solar and so forth. But the amount of land that you have to use to generate the same amount of energy as one natural gas well is unbelievable, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so an example of that is the largest wind turbine, and the largest wind farm in America is called Roscoe Farms. It's in Texas. It's 100,000 acres. It generates about 750 megawatts of electricity, which sounds like a lot of megawatts, and it is a lot of megawatts. But New York City, as an example, uses 12,000 megawatts. So if 100,000 generates 750, but I need 12,000, well, some quick math tells me I need roughly 2 million acres of land. The other problem with green energy is that transmission diffuses over distance. So these farms can't be hundreds of miles away, because in the transmission of that electricity through the wires, a lot of it is lost. So the farms have to be close to the city.
Right.
Where That's I'm right. from New York City. I was born and raised in Queens. I don't know of 2 million acres near New York City that we can just confiscate, unless we get rid of Northern Jersey, which, you know what, a lot of my family would say is not a bad idea.
No, you bring up a great point, Daniel, and that's just, and Andy as well, the sheer, and we've talked about on the show many times, the sheer land volume that it takes to do some of these things and where they have to be placed and so on. And now, shifting gears for just a moment. We all know, Daniel, you as well, that at some point in the future, we will, and this is my view on oil. I've never thought that we would run out of oil. What I figured is at some point in time, we will have other technology that comes along that makes oil, less demand for it. We're already starting to see some of that now, even with some of the efficiencies we've got with automobiles and so on. The reality is we're using less and less, and I figure that at some point in time, there will be other types of energy that comes down the pike. The problem, though, Daniel, is the capitalistic world we live in America needs to feed that, not governmental control. We need to let capitalism figure out what those things are, let those guys come to market with whatever the next best idea is, and move from there, not have it shoved down our throats.
It's a brilliant point you raise, and it's why I named my organization Power the Future, because I do believe that tomorrow is brighter and it has fewer emissions. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I do know that we are in the world's greatest country, and we are known to be people who think deep into the future. But if we punish ourselves now, that future will not come. And by punishing the fossil fuel industry, by making it harder to produce oil and gas, we're making it more expensive to produce, we're making it more expensive to manufacture. The geniuses who are working in some factory and laboratory right now inventing that technology are doing it using conventional energy. So everything we do to hurt ourselves now is hurting ourselves into the future. If green technology was this wonderful panacea, then we would not need government to force it on us. No one gave up their BlackBerry to move to an iPhone because of a government mandate.
That's right. They did it because the market.
A better product.
Yes, exactly right. Thank you. A better product made it to market. People liked it better than they did a flip phone or the BlackBerry. And in turn, we have what we call now smartphones today, which, frankly, the BlackBerry was probably the first smartphone. It just didn't get recognized as such, Daniel. But great example also. You know, BlackBerry, and you know this as well as I, anybody that's you know, over the age of 30 probably realizes this, or even a little less age than that. The reality is BlackBerry really had the best invention out there. They just didn't continue to work on it and refine it and get it to the point where it was competitive with, say, the Androids and the iPhones, and it was a little bit too little too late. What I want to make sure that we do, Daniel, and I think this is where you guys come into play, is we do need to make sure we keep pressure on oil companies to do the best job we possibly can in the refining process and how we handle that oil. And by the way, how we truck it from A to B, which we shouldn't be trucking it or rail carring it. We should be putting it in a pipeline. And this is where, the left basically is a bunch of hypocrites, because if they were really looking at the future and how we power that the most efficiently and the most effectively, they'd keep that pipeline going. That's my point.
Absolutely. And this is punishing ourselves going into that. And we, this idea of bringing a better product to market, like I was saying, there is a great technology that will be invented. But we're not there yet.
No, we're not. And just so you know this, Daniel, but I'll make sure everybody else understands this, even folks that listen to us on the left. It's not invented yet, to your point, Daniel. Wind is not the answer. Solar is not the answer. Maybe it's a combination of a couple of things. But frankly, I don't see... And I'll get your opinion on this. The only place I see solar really being effective is when you can put that in kind of a micro version. So certain individuals in certain neighborhoods and certain areas where they've got the ability, even with some battery storage, to make some things work for a micro center, if you would, and not a macro center. I do think there might be some things along those lines on down the road. And again, I'm spitballing. I'm throwing ideas out because I don't know what the exact next thing is going to be. But, and by the way, I'm not opposed to the things I just said, Daniel, provided...
No.
provided I'm not writing the check as a taxpayer and or it's being forced down my throat.
Well, that's the other problem with a lot of the green technology is that they do require so many subsidies to become affordable, but they are still at a price point that really only the privileged few.
Right.
What's the price of a Tesla?
Right.
Now, I have nothing against Elon Musk. He makes a great product. But Tesla gets so many government subsidies and tax credits and rebates for buying an electric vehicle that your $140,000 car now only costs $80,000. But you know what, guys? Many Americans can't afford an $80,000
car.
So the taxpayers are subsidizing something for the elite.
Well, and I want to throw something else into the mix on that, Daniel. Here's something else most people out there don't realize is right now, if you look at 2021 and the tax credits, Tesla's about out of credits. So is General Motors, because the way the government does that is you get so many credits for so many vehicles produced, and once you produce over that amount, you no longer get the tax credits. So the folks that really have done the most pioneering on electric vehicles, i.e. GM and Tesla, are now getting hurt because they can't sell the car as competitively as, say, Audi or BMW or Ford can. And to me, Daniel, that's also not the right way to do things. We're penalizing the two companies that have made the most advancements in this area because they sold the most vehicles and did the best marketing and had the best, you know, had the best mousetrap, if you would. But now we're going to penalize them in an unfair way. And I don't think that's correct either.
No, it's not. And this is what happened when government starts to tinker and pick winners and losers. They have decided that Keystone is a loser, and now they will decide that something else is a winner. Look at the amount of Wall Street money that is lining up behind electric vehicles and solar and wind stocks. And it's not because they think they're a great company.
Nope.
It's because they know the Biden administration
is
about to pour
millions of
dollars into them.
You are correct. Daniel, it's always great having you on. Great conversation. And, you know, again, folks, I guess the silver lining for, you know, Daniel, for us and even the conversation is I do believe that there's some smart individuals out there that are looking at this and how do we take, you know, what we have and make it better and make life better for all of us. And I do believe that's out there. The problem is I don't know when it's out there. And in the meantime, we still have to continue to use the resources that we have, which right now is oil and natural gas.
Absolutely. And that's the lowest price point for the most amount of people.
Exactly.
The most benefit for the most society. And we do have to care about all of the American society, right? In that short term of making us become green or whatever Biden's vision is, a lot of people are going to get hurt. And I've said this before on your show. The countries that are the greenest also pay the most in utilities, for heating, for AC, for gas. The American taxpayers deserve to know under Biden, you are going to start paying a lot more for your heating bill, for your electric bill, and for gas at the pump. If that's the direction they choose to go and they vote that way, then you know what? That's the consequence of losing an election. But I do not think the American people have been told the truth about what it means to go green.
I agree. Good stuff. Daniel, have you back. Always a great conversation. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you very much. Daniel Turner, again, founder and executive director of Power of the Future. Andy and I want to add a couple of things to what Daniel just said as soon as we come back as well. I got a few more things to say along those lines. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next, by the way. And make sure that your estate's in order, folks. It's really simple. It's in some cases, just a Zoom call or even a phone call in a lot of cases to get this done. It's not a lot of time on your end to make this happen. Call him today, 720-394-6887 or klzradio.com.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, "Those who prepare shall not fear." KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, folks, speaking of vehicles, and you can still buy a vehicle that you put gas in or diesel and drive it and have fun and it gets you from A to B. And it's really easy. And it's really cheap right now. And you know what? I think it's going to stay that way. We'll talk more about that when we come back. In the meantime, give Purefoy Chevrolet a call today, 303-659-8311, or find them online at purefoychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience, and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Joe, you're on the line with us. What's going on, sir?
Hey, guys, just a few things to add to your previous caller. He talked about cost. Let me give you an example. Germany, which has only about 40% of their energy from wind and solar, you know, they're touted as the leader. First, a question. Do you know what the average cost of electricity here in the United States is per kilowatt?
Oh, is it $4 or $5? I don't remember.
No, it's 10 or 11 cents.
Oh, sorry, it's cents. I'm sorry.
Yeah. 10 or 11 cents. You know what it is in Germany?
It's dollars there.
Well, it's 33 cents. It's 300%. Now, let's talk about the impact on the American family. So your American family, you get an electric bill at the end of the month, $150. What happens to that family when that bill goes to $450,
correct,
which is an extra $300 a month times 12 months, $3,600
a lot.
Year. That's a tax.
Most families, Joe, can't afford that.
Most families can't afford an extra $3,600 a year, but that's what will happen. If your energy bill is $150 today, and we go, you know, and we shut down fossil fuels, including coal, and we go flat out just to get, and this, remember, Germany is not 70-80%. They're just 40% solar, wind and solar. They're triple the electric cost that we have here in this country. So if your listeners think about that, how would you like to see your electric bill triple, and what would that mean to you every year? It's a hidden
But, Joe, I'm saving the planet.
Well, but you might be living in a refrigerator box, but you're saving the planet. That's first. Now, let's get back to, quote, studies. You do. So Biden wants a moratorium so that they can, quote, study fracking. Now, you know that there have been literally thousands of studies of fracking, all of which have said, you know, fracking doesn't hurt the environment. It doesn't hurt groundwater. But you know that, and your listeners probably don't know that, fracking fluid is 99% sand and water.
Water, yep.
And some other things like ascorbic acid, which is in every can of Coke you drink. It is benign compared to what is already down there. So I think with what the studies are, they're going to keep trying to come up with a study that says fracking is bad, because there are thousands of studies, and all of them say, no, fracking isn't bad. So why do they need to study it? They need to come up with a new study that says fracking is bad.
Yeah, they're only doing this because they've got an agenda, and they're trying to put money into those pockets of those folks we just got done talking about.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're going to pay, they're going to give somebody a government, probably going to give, you know, 20 universities government grants to come up with a
study. To do the studies. Great point.
Says, you know, great fracking point. Is bad. Because right now, all the study says, nope. By the way, just so you're listening, though, groundwater exists primarily between 500 feet and up.
Yep.
You know at what depth fracking takes place?
Several thousand.
Yeah,
thousands
a couple thousand
feet
or more.
10 to 12,000, two miles below the water table.
Yeah.
2 miles. And you know, there's a concrete sleeve, by the way, separating the oil-bearing zone from the water zone, from the where the potable water is. And by the way...
Yeah, and real quick for everybody listening, just for those of you that may or may not know this, you know, a deep well, Joe, and you know this in Colorado, a deep well is, you know, 300-400 feet. Some go as many, maybe as far as 900. That's a really, really, that's a well where somebody couldn't find water and they had to just keep going and going. On average, that, you know, 100 to 300 range is about where water's at.
Right. And in places like Oklahoma, the water table's 50, 60 feet.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you
that's
know,
right.
A deep well in Oklahoma is 150 feet.
I'm talking, this is in the Rocky Mountains. We're at 5,000 feet above sea level.
Right. I mean, if you're way, way up in Aspen or someplace, you know, you may have to drill down.
I've looked at a lot of mountain properties, Joe, and the majority of those wells are, they've got water at about 250 feet, so it's not much different right there either.
So here you have water that is no deeper than 1,000 feet, and you have fracking that's taking place 2 miles below the surface.
Right.
And by the way, what the chemicals that are already down there in the oil-bearing zone, it's a witch's brew. The fracking fluid is benign compared to what you're mixing it with.
That's right.
I mean, you're basically diluting those very, very nasty chemicals. So you're not adding pollutants to the earth. If anything, you're diluting the already highly toxic chemicals that are down there.
Right.
So you're not adding pollutants.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I always approach it like this when I'm talking to somebody. I just say, hey, tell you what, I'll make you a deal. What if I could guarantee you that all the fracking we do, I'll make sure that it is over, you know, that it is like a mile or several thousand feet of solid rock in between that fracking and the water table, the water that you have, and with no cracks going from the fracking into that water. If I could guarantee you that, would you be okay? And they're like, well, sure, if you could. I'd just say, that's exactly what it
is.
We're already there.
Yep, you're there.
Yeah.
And then there's never been a single documented case.
Nope.
Of fracking. By the way, you see these things about, you know, people putting a match to their water faucet. That was happening years before the first well was ever fracked.
That's exactly right.
And it was happening 100 years ago.
That's right.
You have shallow coal.
That's right.
Coal.
Methane gas.
Coal beds produce methane.
That's right.
And if you have a shallow coal, in Pennsylvania where my folks live around Scranton, you go down 50 feet and you're into coal. Well, if you put a water well down 100 feet through a coal bed loaded with methane, you're going to have methane in your water in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Even if there's not a fracked well within 100 miles.
Joe, I got to run. Appreciate it very much.
Okay.
Top of the hour break here real quick, guys. We got one last break, American National Insurance, and then we'll be right back for a little short segment. In the meantime, anything you need insurance-wise, give my good friend, and he really is, Paul Leuenberger, my good friend, to call. He'd love to help you out, whether it's auto, home, life, you name it, Paul can help you. 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we want to thank Joe again, our last caller. Is Joe what were you going to say there, Andy? Was Joe what?
Well, I said, all I was going to say is Joe is obviously a shill for Big Oil.
Oh, got it.
You know, Joe is getting a lot of money from Big Oil.
They're writing in those checks.
Oh, yes.
Got it. No, Joe, we know that's not true. By the way, everybody listening, Joe had a great point. One of the things that Joe mentioned, it's so true. We as a country pay some of the cheapest energy prices anywhere in the entire world, and that's due to oil, capitalism, the way that we can actually, you know, do the things with it we do. You know what, folks? Don't let this administration screw that up.
It's cheap because we choose, the government doesn't.
That's exactly right. We'll be back. Hour number two is next. If you're listening to our replay hour, thank you so much. But we will be back. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.